Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 50 minutes. I have someone that I have a great deal of respect for, and I want to kind of give him something that I think he deserves. And it's Chief Thomas Dolly. Now, Chief Dolly, in the opinion of several of his colleagues and mine, and I've been all over the world and I've seen chiefs and Indians and everything else. But Chief Dolly is the chief, but he's a cop's cop. Highest compliment I can give you, Chief.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
No, it's a true story. You walked the beat, you drove the car, you did the deeds. But now, sadly, on January 9th, the chief will be retiring. Well earned, well deserved. So, Chief, this is kind of like your swan song before you go out the door.
Yeah, no, Bill, I appreciate it, and thank you for the honorable accolades and support through the last couple of years. And you know, it's bittersweet to say the least. You know, I graduated from college in 95, and I started my law enforcement career right as soon as I got out. I began at the Bergen County Sheriff's Department as a correctional officer when it was on 2nd Street. I did some time there, figuratively speaking. And then I see how I did that?
Yeah, it was
and
very
then I
nice.
Went to, I worked at Hinsdale Police for a few years, West Stockbridge Police, the trial court. I was a trial court officer for a short time before I came here. So really, I've been in law enforcement for almost 30 years.
Wow.
You know, and I started early. I started young.
I hate to do this to you.
Lay it on me.
But other than the court work, you and I took the same path.
Yep.
I came back from Vietnam, started working part-time at the jail, went to Lanesboro Police Department, came down to Pittsfield, and then went on my way. But, I think all of those experiences really help groom us, both of us, to be have the success we've had.
Yeah, you know, and I tell a lot of people this, and you know, really some of the best officers and the more in-tuned officers are officers that come from jails,
yeah,
that are COs. They have a communication skill with them that's, you know,
yeah,
that's just great to have on the street. And you know, I've always been a big proponent to, you know, you treat someone well in the jail, further down the road, they're going to be respectable to you and treat you well. And you see a lot of that, especially with some of the officers that come over from the sheriff's departments. They're great talkers. They're good with people on the street. So it helps.
It's a learned trait because you're as locked up as they are.
Yeah, you're in there for 40 plus hours, and you know, so you kind of feel what they feel, that you see what they see, you understand them, you have empathy. You know, they're people too. So,
and you see their families come, and you know, you're right. And I also think, and you can disagree with me, but I also think the privilege, and I mean this, I considered my time in Lanesboro is a learning privilege. Not when I was going through it, but afterwards, I learned more about being a cop in Lanesboro than anywhere else, because most times you were it.
You're it.
Yeah.
You're it.
Your backup was the state police. And more than once, like I, the infamous Seacom Brook Club, get a call to Seacom Brook and call the state police for a backup. Oh, I'm sorry, he's in Attleboro or some, you know. But again, you learn to deal with people on a kind of an equal basis.
Well, you find your listening and your speaking communication skills very honed in when it comes to those situations. I remember being up in Hinsdale, being the only officer on, going to domestics, and you're like, oh boy. Thank God, we had Dalton next door, who was a full-time department. They would always back you up, but until they get there,
You're it.
so.
Yeah, I mean, we had Pittsfield. And it was the same way. And the state, the troopers would come, but God only knew where they were when they got to call themselves.
Right.
And the jobs changed.
Completely. Completely. On, within the department, outside the department, policing in general is just morphed into something completely different.
It has. And they wonder. I just was watching the business news, and they were talking about the difficulty in getting teachers and police. Really? Wow. Breaking news? Really?
No, it's an honorable job. It's still, in my opinion, it's one of the best jobs
Yeah, me too.
ever. And I will always say that. But being the chief of a community this size and a department this size has its challenges. And you really want you need to want to be chief job. You really have to. I mean, I tell my guys, this is no secret. I tell my guys all the time, I would do anything to go back on the street in a cruiser, and answer calls. And they're looking at you like, what? I says, yeah, believe it or not. But that's just who I am. It's not for everybody.
I said it early on in the show. You're a cop's cop, cops. I remember Chief McCormick had a heart attack, and I was the acting chief for 6 or 7 months during budget time.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. There's a
And
lot going on.
everybody that, the actual job is so rewarding, but the
Yes.
administrative end of the job is so tedious.
There's a lot. I mean, you're talking almost a $15 million budget for Pittsfield Police. Over 80% of that is really payroll personnel. The rest is obviously expenses, and to budget that and to balance that every year, it's a challenge. I mean, I've actually done three budgets in my tenure as chief, and I've learned a lot. I knew nothing going into the budget, zero. I never needed to know it in my positions throughout the department. And then when I became the interim chief in June of 23, then I started to realize, oh boy, I better figure this out, because retired Chief Wynn, he was out in a month. Okay, here we go. Time to put your big boy pants on and step up to the plate. And you know what? I can't take really any of the credit of what goes on with this department, because we have such an awesome department. They made me look good, honestly. Because we're family, and they're just the best at what they do. They really are.
There's a camaraderie in the military, and I didn't think I would ever see it replicated, especially in Vietnam. I mean, I didn't ever think I would see that kind of camaraderie, again. And then I went on to PD, and when you leave Lanesboro, we finally got up to two people on the night shift, 4 to midnight. But when I got to Pittsfield, the camaraderie there, and there was a rivalry too. But there's camaraderie. There's all you have to do is say 10:33, and you got the world coming.
Oh, they come. And for 1033, so for your listeners, a 1033 is an assistance call, officer sends assistance like right away.
And when you hit that, and I mean, I come, I'm here to tell you, they do come lickety split, and they keep coming until it's clear. And I gotta take an aside for a moment. The bad snowstorm, the first snowstorm we had, they were all, well, you know, I'm an old man, and I was sitting. I said, I'm gonna listen to the scanner. I don't listen to it all that often anymore because, well, first of all, I can't hear it. But anyhow, I have to compliment your dispatchers and your officers and whoever the desk sergeant was. Boy, oh, there was one call after another, from traffic accidents to domestic disputes to it. You know, I said to the Polish princess, listen to the professionalism. No anxiety, no, you know, calm, cool, collective. And at one point, something, and I didn't hear the full call, and he says, I got 21 calls ahead of you. So,
No, I actually got a call that night from one of my commanders and saying, hey, listen, just to let you know, this is what we're dealing with right now. We've had X amount of motor vehicle accidents since 4 o'clock. It was only 6 o'clock when he called me. I'm like, what do you need? What do you need from me? And do you need more resources? Call them in.
Hey.
And that's what it came down to. I mean, between triaging the motor vehicle accidents, I think one of them was a rollover. Like you said, the domestics and the other calls.
But isn't it always that, isn't it always that way? I mean,
Yeah, that's
isn't
Murphy's Law.
you got three or four bad accidents, and then all of a sudden you get two family disputes.
Oh yeah. There's your shift. Your shift.
What do you think you'll miss the most?
The people. The people. If I had to really put it in a like a chart or a list, I'd say the people of this department. After that, I think the last thing on the list is the police work, the work itself. A lot of officers that retire have the issue where their identity is now gone. Once a police officer, always a police officer,
That's
but
right.
you're
Can't
not,
help it.
it's just who you are. And for what I say, almost 30 years, that's all I knew. That's all I know. Being a police officer, I think that's one of the biggest struggles that any retiree has from this job is your identity as a police officer is gone. Now, it could be bad, it could be good. That's why you got to keep your mind occupied and find something else. I'm not retiring from work, but I am retiring from at least this department. The profession, I don't know. We'll see.
No, I know what you're saying. I think I shared this story with you, and I'm not going to mention the name, but they had this coffee thing, and this captain, he had, like yourself, he had like 35 years or what, and I he was mandatoried out, so I don't know what that is now. But anyhow, that was Friday, so I come into work Monday, and there he is in civilian clothes. And one of the other guys said, Cap, what are you doing here? He goes, where else would I go? I came here every day for, he said, I don't have any hobbies. And I thought to myself, boy, I hope that's never me.
It's like I said to the beginning, it's bittersweet, and you have to have. I talked to a retiree the other day because in my mind I was struggling with it, and I relayed this story to this retiree, and what he said to me was like, for the first 3 months, he really didn't know what to do with himself because he didn't have a plan, he didn't have a hobby. Moving forward. So once he's left this place, he was like, oh boy, what do I do now? And he, after 3 months, he quickly found himself doing something else. But it's going to be hard to keep me out of this department, be honest with you. If it's just visiting or helping out whatever I can, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
Well, and you shouldn't, because the other thing that you have are years of experience. It's great, everybody gets a degree and all that, and And it's taught mostly by former officers or current officers. But until you got to deal with the obnoxious drunk or the family dispute, you can study it till you grow hair. And you and I are in that category, hair growing.
Maybe it'll grow back
I hope so. No, I've been out for since I had open heart surgery and my career ended abruptly. But and you know, whoever told you that, it finally dawned on me that I couldn't sit home and watch reruns of Larry Springer.
right.
You know, so I started doing stuff and a little consulting here, a little, and then I started this radio thing, and because at the time, the people, there was nobody singing Pittsfield's praises. They were
Right.
tearing, and I'd been all over the world, and I said, "Wait a minute, wait a minute, come on! It's Pittsfield's a great place to live," and so that's my story. But you take a couple of weeks, maybe go somewhere with the bride, and then I'm sure she's going to be happy it's over.
She is. She, she's been my backbone, my support for all
Mine
these
too.
years. And it's funny because when we first met back in the 90s, when I told her, I was a police officer at that time, I says, "Are you okay with this? Are you okay me being a police officer?" She says, "Absolutely." And since then, she was
Mine too.
always supportive in my decisions. So yeah,
Yeah.
it's been a long road.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't have done a tenth of what I've done without the Polish princess backing me up and carrying a heavy load. Because
Yeah.
sometimes I'd be out of the country, and she'd have to raise my son.
Right. That
And
that's that was big too. I'm glad you mentioned that because I had two young boys at the time. And the holidays and stuff like that, I couldn't be around. Whether it be a call out when I was in the detective bureau or if I had to work the shift on patrol. A lot of lost time, but she knew what she was getting into.
Yeah, well, they I think the both of them evolved.
Right.
They, you know, I go back to a night, one night, standing in front of the one we had the ambulance. So we always had the guys on North Street walking beat.
Yep.
And I think back on this fondly. There were always, and I'm sure you saw it when you were out there. And for the general audience, there were always people who were out in the middle of the night just to be out. And if you took the time to talk with them, they were fascinating people.
They had a story. Everybody has a story.
And the other thing was, they saw and heard everything, but because they were the people doing everything, didn't see them because they were always there. You know, they're a great story. So I won't mention the sergeant's name, but he pulled up. I wasn't had a bunch of them around me. We were chatting in front of the Y. And he called me over. He said, "What is wrong with you?" I said, "Well, what do you mean? You got all these people, they're street people." I said, "I know they are, Sarge, but they're a wealth of knowledge if you listen to them."
Yeah, so all you got to do is listen, and they'll tell you the story.
And so when I think back on many of those, like last night, being out walking either North Street or Tyler Street, boy, oh boy, the world has changed.
It has, and we do the best we can with the amount of officers that we have, and we try to deploy the officers to the needed areas of the city. But it's just, Bill, it's one call after
Oh,
another.
I know.
It's nonsense.
I will never, and it's the same with the fire now. I mean, they're out first responder stuff, EMT stuff. And it was that same that night.
Yeah.
That night, the fire was out straight. EMS was out straight. You guys were out straight.
Yeah. But there's not a greater team than Fire EMS and
Oh, yeah.
it's a great collaboration of professionals. And it's funny because I left here the other day from work, and just leaving here, I had a mental health call that I went to. And on the way home, I went to a fire off
Wow.
of Tyler Street. And those guys are just top notch. The fire
Oh.
department's top notch.
I have Chief Sammons on here too, and I like to have him on at the seasons because every season brings its own fire hazard.
You're right. It
You
does.
know, and the chief has been so good. And my dad was a firefighter for 36, 38 years, Pittsfield.
Yep.
And it's funny when I have him on, I because he was in the inspection bureau too, and my father was the first fire inspector in Pittsfield.
Okay.
And don't close that bedroom door. Oh, geez. We'd go out to like the Cape or something. You go, never stay in a room where the ladders can't reach, you know.
Yeah, well, he's wealth of knowledge. He was
Yeah, but it's ingrained in you. My wife thinks sometimes I'm a half a bubble up. Well, she knows I'm a half a bubble off a plum, but so what's been the most challenging part of your overall career?
overall career, well, there's so many different stages in my career, Bill.
Yeah.
From patrolman to detective bureau to supervisor, to now chief, every stage had its challenges. I never thought that policing in itself was a challenge.
No.
The challenge that I started to see evolve was the way that the community saw us. And it goes in waves, you
Oh
know.
yeah.
Sometimes you're the hero, sometimes you're
Yeah.
lower than whale, you know what, and
Yeah.
then up again. So it's a
Yeah.
constant
Yeah.
roller coaster ride of emotions from the community. And it's really have gotten worse in relation to all the things that are going on nationally with our federal counterparts
Yeah.
and policing and stuff like that. That has been a real challenge and a real not for just me, but for a lot of officers, the morale
Sure.
putting on a uniform every morning. But as a chief, I think one of my challenges, most difficult challenges, was trying to maintain and understand personnel, because you have so many different personalities, visions, ideologies, narratives. So it was very hard to navigate between civilian and patrol, and it is a lot of work. And I often joke that instead of chief of police on my door, it should be mediator and therapist,
Yeah.
because the biggest part of being a chief is listening. And listening to the
Right.
concerns, empathy. And I had to find that.
Yeah. And I think every stage of every career, and speak, and you just kind of nailed it, brings with it its own rewards, its own challenges, and its own learning.
Yeah.
I can remember being a patrolman and look and say, well, I'm going to strive for sergeant. And then a very good friend of mine, Ike Lennon, said, think about it, Billy. Think about it.
Yeah,
Now
no.
you have to take care of Billy. When you're a sergeant, you got to take care of 14 Billies or whatever we had back then.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, honest truth, that I had no intentions of even becoming a supervisor in this department.
Yeah.
Before I was a supervisor, I was in the detective bureau,
Right.
and I was happy. I was content. That's what I wanted to do, is be a detective. And I loved it. And one of my captains at the time said, "Hey, you should take the sergeant's exam." I said, "Nah." I said, "I'm good." I said, "I'm good." And he says, "No, I think you could ruin the sergeant." And I was like, "No, I think I'm content." So he says, "Well, I'll take it anyways." So I did. And I didn't do well the first test. I'm like, "I'm done. I'm good." And he says, "A lot of people don't pass on the first one. Take it again." So I took it and I scored well. I'm like, "All right, now I'm in it. Now what do I do? Now I got to make a decision." And then it just, my career went that way with the supervisor stuff.
That for young people out there, before we go to break, if you're thinking of a law enforcement, how would you encourage them?
I would say, first of all, I would say this is one of the most rewarding professions, I
I
believe,
agree.
out there. Despite of all the negativity that police work gets, if they really want to make a change in their community and be the person that they want to be, especially as an officer, take that step. Take that step in a career, in a fulfilling career. In a well-paying career, with the pension. This is one of the only professions that still has a
That's
pension,
right.
and you don't see it anymore. So you got to think of your future, your family's future, and in a career in law enforcement, it's just so rewarding. And like we said before, it's a brotherhood or a sisterhood. The camaraderie is second to none. Because you're in it with these folks, you're in it with your fellow officers, just like the military. You see things that you never thought you would see in your entire life, and you
That's
share
right.
that experience with other officers. And having that, you can't explain it to someone who's never done it before. And that's where the peer support comes in, Bill, where you talk to your fellow officers rather than a therapist.
There's no question about that, because no one is. I had a person. God rest your dad's soul. He was in Vietnam. I had a guy say to me, "Well, I know what it was like in Vietnam." I said, "Really?"
Were you
How?
there?
What? No. He read some books and he watched a movie, Platoon.
Oh, that'll
And it's like that with the police department. Till you've answered that wicked accident where the person is hanging on the very edge. I had one head on in Lanesboro, right about this time of the year, right around Christmas. And the poor guy was hanging on with it by his fingernails for his life for like 3 or 4 days. Thanks be to God he made it.
No, I mean, you see, just when you think you've seen it all, you see something else. You're like, "Oh my God, I never thought I'd see something like this." People are at their lowest, at their worst. And, mentally, it does play on you. I've gotten to the point in my career where, it's probably not healthy, but I've stuffed that way down, all the things that I've seen or been involved with. And every now and again, something will trigger it, whether I believe it or not, and this is going to sound silly, whether it's a smell or something you see, it's like, oh, it brings you right back to that traumatic call that you went on.
You're talking to a Vietnam veteran who can the least little weird thing could, you're right back there.
Yeah, I mean, my father, and I mean, you can probably relate to this as well, hated the 4th of July.
Fireworks.
Fireworks absolutely terrified my father. Because of the fact is it was going on all around him. He'll be in his house, and I would get calls from him, and he would wake up in the middle of the night with just
Dreams.
the terror of what happened in Vietnam, and it's current with the fireworks. So.
When I first go, I got married 2 weeks after I came back from Vietnam. I was still in the Army, had him stationed at Fort Bliss, not for your state of mind. Wasn't named for that. Car backfired. I jumped out of bed, ran, and ran right into an ajar door. Boom.
Really?
That's that. I want some people to understand this job takes a human toll on the people who do it, but I wouldn't have traded my experience in law enforcement for anything, because
No.
it's made me a better person, a more understanding person, and not as judgmental a person. Chief, we got to take a break. We'll be back. I am here, and it's again, the chief is retiring. January 9th, he'll walk out that door, not for the last time, because he'll be back. But he's a good man. We've been very fortunate to have him. And if you can't see that through this interview, then I'm not doing my job. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial, and we're simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Pittsfield Community Television has relaunched our website at pittsfieldtv.org with a new design to make it easier to find our live streams with PCTV Select, where you can watch live sports, city meetings, and more. Now it's simple to find our past shows on demand and future TV schedules. You can also quickly find information on how to be a member, our upcoming training sessions, and how to donate to PCTV. Check it out at pittsfieldtv.org.
What is One Berkshire? We're the voice of the business community, promoting the region and supporting local business. How do we do it? Through marketing, networking, sponsorships, and advocacy. Whether it's promotion to travelers and second homeowners, or opportunities to network with your neighbors and raise your profile, we've got you covered. So join today. Visit oneberkshire.com. That's the number one, berkshire.com.
The preceding public service announcement courtesy of WTBR and Lee Bank.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock on Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. The good-looking guy you see there, his name is Chief Thomas Dolly. He is the chief of the Pittsfield Police Department. This is his kind of swan song show as chief. And kind of an FYI for some of you, I will be leaving in early January myself. We're going to be celebrating our anniversary on I believe it's the 6th of January, having an anniversary show. Chief may ask you to call in or stop by, even stop over to the station. We brought WTBR from the old Taconic High School to the new, to over to Federico Drive, because the Wizards in Boston didn't think there was a need for a program on broadcasting. Well, then now they have a better studio than most TV stations. And I was just there we try to do one Wednesday a month live from Taconic. and to give the kids real life experience. And but I've loved my time here. I can't thank all the people who made me look good. The people behind: Sean Sear, Jody, Dave Cachet, Dave Wyatt, Jeff Facilio. All the only thing I really took a little bit of offense, they wouldn't let me go in the control room unless I wore mittens. But really and truly, I'll never be able to repay them. And it's a bittersweet. You're right. Yeah. I have to give it up. My health is just deteriorating, and I'm still going to try to keep my finger in a little bit, like you.
And you should. You know, this is, I mean, how many years have you been doing this, Bill?
Well, collectively, almost 20.
Yeah. So this is a staple for you. This is a staple for the community. You've been engaged in this for 20 years.
Yeah.
People know you and people listen to you. So kudos to you. Congratulations. And
and to you too. Did I ever tell you a story? I was in a green room with Walter Payton, and we were doing, he was doing a paid gig and I was doing the government gig.
Yeah.
And he made it. I said, I could watch you dance. I could watch you run. Yeah. You were like a ballerina and I said to him, you're like a ballerina on the football field. You floated. Mm-hmm. And he said, but you have to know when to go.
Right. Right.
You have to know.
Like, they're, you know, Chief O'Brien from Lennox.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine, you know, 30 plus years in Lennox Police Department. Yeah. Great guy. Well-deserved, well-respected. There's a couple other chiefs in, well, Berkshire's, but Western Mass that are retiring. You know, it's not like it used to be, Bill, where at least I can speak for myself, where people are putting 30 plus years into this.
Right. No.
Profession. You know, a lot of, you know, you're invested, I think, in 10 years. Some people are going out in 20 years, some in 25. I have one officer that's been here for almost 40 years, not 41, 42 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's probably here when you were here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's that way everywhere. I mean, I had an occasion a few months back, same with teachers, 10 and out.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, with this profession, just like any kind of first responder, your life expectancy shortens dramatically.
Yeah.
There's a chart that's out there. I mean, there's several charts, but at least in this profession, you know, it's better to retire than hang in there to your 65, say, and then you have what, maybe 10 good years?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe.
That's so the system, system beat you.
Yeah.
And when you beat the system.
Look at the guys when you first came on and I was on. World War II guys.
Yeah.
Right? They all smoke. They all drank. And they weren't out of the job 3-5 years, and you're going, we have standing honor guard for them.
Yeah. We would, you know, we just lost an awesome person, Sergeant Mike Fitzgerald.
Oh, Fitzy, yeah. He worked with him.
I worked with Fitzy. He was fantastic. Great guy. And, you know, he had some complications. And, you know, he retired, I can't remember, was maybe a little over 10 years ago. And here we are, you know. There's been officers that unfortunately have passed. You know, whether it's heart or other complications. Yeah. The life expectancy of this profession and any first responder profession is shorter than your normal person.
Yeah. And even after, and I've been gone a long time, but there's still, like you said, sound, sight, seasons. People don't realize, and it may have changed, but I don't think it has, how difficult the holiday season is for first responders.
It is in twofold, responding to calls and trying to be there for your family too.
Exactly.
I remember as a detective, it was really heartbreaking. It was Thanksgiving Eve.
Yeah.
And I had a DOA I had to respond to. And, you know, that person was having their family over and everything else. And right before Thanksgiving, they unfortunately passed.
Yeah.
And I'm there, you know, it's hard to find the words other than I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I can never say, I never said to people, I know what you're going through. I know what you're dealing with. But it was heartbreaking to give the news that this person's passed away.
Like
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know? And it happens. And, you know, there's a lot of mental health calls around the holidays.
A lot of alcohol involved situations.
Yeah. And the officers, you know, they have to respond to these calls and try to find the best way to have this person cope, really, and understand that it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, we're here to help you. We'll find your help for you. You'll get through this difficult time. So.
And again, it's probably a little bit better now. It's probably a little bit better now than when the GE was running full bore.
Yeah.
Because when I worked in the shop, work would stop at noon. And all the soda machines would be mixers, you know.
Yeah.
The worst call I ever had on was Christmas night. And I was in Lanesboro, and I got a call domestic.
Yeah.
I get there, and it's two adult drunks and three kids. No presents, no heat.
Oh, geez.
So I called, it's a time, my cousin, and we got some heat. And it broke my heart, these kids. They're sitting there with their coats on and their hats. So I said, what did you have for Christmas dinner? Cornflakes.
Oh.
I'm reliving it right now. The boyfriend just didn't know enough to shut up.
Yeah.
You know, I opened the refrigerator, and I don't want to belabor this. I opened, you know what? No milk. I said, what'd you put on your cornflakes? Water.
Really?
Yep. DCF was in there like gangbusters.
Yeah. Well, you have to. You got to protect our children, our kids.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the adults, you know, they're still parents. They're still guardians. They have to provide.
Yeah, but these two, I'll never forget that. Honestly, I don't want to spoil my Christmas. And it was Christmas night. I had to come home to a warm house, a Christmas tree, a son playing with his new toys.
But you wouldn't forget that. You wouldn't forget that call.
Like it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to be having your going, but you've got some other retirements I'm hearing coming up.
There is. There's at least, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 retirements next year. Two of them came on with me or after me, and then two of them were here before me. And you know, it's just when you know it's time, and you don't want to you know, mentally, you have to prepare yourself for something like this.
Yeah.
Where I think I've been telling people that, you know, I hope I made this place better than it was, but not as good as it can be and get. You know, I'm just, hopefully we're just going to get better and better and better. And, you know, when I try to get everything done, Bill, for the next chief to come in.
Yeah.
Something else comes up, it's like, okay, now I got this to put out. It's like, just when you think you're kind of, all right, I'm gonna leave you in control now. I think I got everything all set. It's like, wham.
Yeah.
It's like that. Okay, here we go again.
But at least you're doing that consciously, Chief.
Of course.
You are trying to, but and soon the new chief will realize, well, I wonder how come he didn't. Oh no, I know why he didn't finish that. I can't finish what I started.
Sure.
The management today, it's trying, it's rewarding. But boy, it can be darn frustrating.
Absolutely. With this profession, obviously, you don't know where you're going to get the next day. You know what I
That's
mean?
right.
It's like,
Next
what's
minute.
next minute? And I got to tell you, I mean, it was an honor. And it's very humbling that I was able to serve as this department's chief. It
Yeah.
really is. All aside the other stuff,
Yeah.
going back, I can say in the history books now that I was
Yeah.
at one time the chief of police of my hometown, of my city
Yeah.
I grew up in, which I never thought 24 years, 25 years ago, that I would even be in this position at all.
Well, I can tell you, you've in my humble opinion, and several others, people are really sad to see you go. You're level-headed, I'm not going to mention the ones you and I work for who had hair triggers. But then I think back on guys like Ike Lennon and others, some of the old Gene Tooley, who was on when I started, World War II guys, just never wanted, they were always. There's a guy they should probably put a statue of him, Frank Carlin. Did you ever hear that name?
No.
He had the beat down by the banks, and he was there, and he knew everybody. And a parking ticket was not in his vocabulary.
Oh yeah.
Park right there, sweetheart. Park right there. And I can remember. He was replaced by another guy who was, he'd write up his mother, you know. So,
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's a few of those too.
yeah.
It's discretion. We have discretion. That's what it comes down to.
And that is something I wish that they would hit. I don't, of course, I haven't been to the academy, but 70, well, however long 1970 was, but in that variety, in that, well, that's something I learned in Vietnam, discretion, but not to the extent that the police have it. It was a learned trick. Unfortunately, I was learning from old guys.
Right. Yep, right. And that's true to today too. A lot of these, you get a different generation of police officers
Yep.
now. There's a lot of whys and explanations and why we got to do it that way. And a lot of the older veteran officers, just because, just do it, just because that's how we do it. But why?
Yeah.
And we have to have in our artillery, our toolbox, to answer those questions. Why we do it? Okay,
Yeah.
I see. Now, if I explain to them why, oh, okay, I get it now.
I get it now.
I get it now.
And you know, had a situation up on the causeway. I was in Lanesboro. I got a call. Pittsfield was coming. I might have told you this. And was a guy exposing himself to, so he come up and I didn't see him, but there were witnesses. So
Yeah.
the Pittsfield guy got there, World War II guy. He said, "What was he doing?" And the lady said, "Well, he was exposing himself to me and my kids."
Yep.
So I said, "What? You got a witness? You got lock him up? What am I gonna lock him up for?" So here was my answer: lewd and lascivious in speech and behavior.
There you
He
go. Yeah.
goes, "What?"
What's that? Yeah.
So he did. He locked him up. But he said, if I get into the station and I get chewed out, I'm going to come looking for you.
There you go. Yeah. And he probably didn't.
Guy was known. I mean,
yeah.
But so as time comes to a close for this interview, I hope our friendship never separates. We'll have coffee together and commiserate about every so often I go out with two guys. I won't mention who they are on air, but I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
Yeah, both in this field. And we go out to Panera. And the other day, we were there last month. We go once a month. And we're just, and one of them said, you know who we sound like now? And he said, no. All those old guys we used to listen to in the park, gripe, gripe, gripe. And the other one says, that's because we're now those old guys.
Yeah, it's generational.
Yeah.
It's a funny story, quick story. I'm sitting at my desk yesterday, and it's snowing out. It's getting slick out. And all of a sudden, a picture pops up on my phone. And it's a picture of four retirees down in Florida.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, you really need to send me this now. And they're like, here's to you up north. I'm like, okay, game on.
But it has nothing to do with the interview. Excuse me. But I will share this. I have seen three couples in the last month, all of whom had lived in Florida for over 10 years, have moved back.
Yep.
Have moved back. They said it's just unbelievable down there.
Yeah. My mother's one of them.
Oh, wow.
And her husband were snowbirds for years.
Yeah.
20 years. And a couple of years ago, she said to me, just to let you know, we're selling our house and we're going to stay back in Pittsfield for the winter. I'm like, what? Why? And, and there was a multitude of different reasons.
Yes, they have too. Yeah. Like one lady said, part of it's traffic.
Yeah.
Another lady, wife said to me, Bill, when it takes you 15 minutes to check out of the grocery store because of the line. And a lot of them just said, you know what? I just missed Pittsfield.
Yeah. Yeah. My mother, for her reasons, I respected them. I says, it's whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
She wanted to travel more. Things started getting really expensive down there.
Yeah.
She's like, we're done going to Florida. I says, okay.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to do, fine.
And in all honesty, today's a little chilly. It passed chilly about 40 degrees ago. It's cold.
Right. Yeah.
But my wife and I, we could have retired literally anywhere in the world. I had people in the Philippines begging me to, in the Philippines, because of the military presence there, there's a lot of expats living there. But this is home.
It is.
Good, bad, or indifferent. It's home.
Yeah. No, I have no plans of moving, at least away from the Berkshires.
Yeah.
We're going to do some more traveling. And we have one of those RVs. So we'd like to get out of cool. Yeah, we're going to do that. And, I have a boat. I like boating and fishing, and I have
good for you.
A project car that I've been working on. I ride a motorcycle, so we got a lot of stuff going on.
Well, I'm going to give you some advice that the Judge Sacco gave me. Go while you're still able to enjoy it.
Yep, that's the plan.
While you're young enough to still able to enjoy it.
Yeah,
and I hope our friendship continues. You have served this city well. I consider an honor to know you and to be able to call you a friend. And I mean that sincerely.
Thank you.
And on January 9th, just tell them when you go out, I don't want you to take this as a threat, but I'll be back.
I'll be back. I'll be back in some form.
Some
But
form.
I want to thank you, Bill, too, for your friendship and the last couple of years of having me on the show, and not only seeing you on the show, but outside. I always had great conversation. I wish you and your wife well and your endeavors, and we'll talk really soon.
I hope so. And your best to your wife and to both of you and your entire family. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And don't forget January 6th, either stop by the station. I'll get you more information on it.
Yeah, let me know. Let me know on that.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. And as I always say, and I know it bothers some of you, but God bless. And today, lift somebody up. Don't be putting people down. It doesn't make you look any bigger or better. We're all in this together. We certainly need each other. And if you don't believe it, ask two old cops. People really need each other.
Yes, Chief, sir.
Best to you, brother.
Thank you, sir. Take care of yourself.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.